Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever podcasts can be found, and of course, taped live at the Twitch at twitch.tv/Steve and Larson. A little bit later on today, we've got Numbers Don't Lie, which is a Friendo Club TV exclusive. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. You can vote on Sting using Going In Raw math, and we're going to take a look at him and see where he ranks on our list of Going In Raw math the subjects so far. So that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then, also, if you enjoy Going In Raw and you want it ad-free in the audio realm, Going In Raw, I'm sorry, patreon.com/Steven Larson. $5 a month gets you the series, the show, ad-free, plus the bonus content. If you just want the show ad-free without the bonus content, $3 a month gets you there, and you can get that at goinginraw.supercast.tech, I believe.
Correct.
So, definitely check that out. Should be a good Numbers Don't Lie later on today.
And, of course, tonight we got Smash Zone, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's you, me, Enforcer, just watching stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to at least run an episode of Match Game.
Great
idea. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Great idea.
I think Match Game would be fun. We had a good time with the game shows last week.
We did.
So that was a lot of fun. But anyways, man, we're here to talk about wrestling. I hear there's something afoot with the latest AEW WWE rivalry. Do you want to sneak on that? Speak on that?
Sure, I can give it a try.
Fight about
like one
shoes.
Would try on a pair of shoes. So anyways,
good.
I never thought I'd wake up this morning to see the wrestling world arguing about sneakers of all things.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I like sneakers. I love sneakers. Yeah. But here we are. So anyways, this all started yesterday when Hit Row's Top Dollar tweeted out, quote, "Some of y'all favorite wrestlers only wear sneakers on camera to seem cool and hip, but in real life, they rock Vans and Asics exclusively, but y'all not ready for that conversation." Later, MVP asked Top Dollar to name some names,
ooh,
to which Top Dollar responded, quote, "I prefer not to mention members of the competition, but if you watch the show, they tell on themselves."
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
I think people assume he was referencing the Young Bucks because since their heel turn, they've been going on StockX and buying all these really expensive, like thousands of dollars in some cases.
Oh, man.
Jordans to wear during their matches.
Yeah.
And apparently the Young Bucks, as they often do, ran with it. So they changed their Twitter bio a couple times. First to this, quote, "Spent more on sneakers in September than the entire NXT roster did."
Wow.
Later, changed it again to, quote, "Only wear Heat. Ain't buying unless it's resale price. Will make you trend just by mentioning you here in our bio." This all seems like fun trash talk between wrestlers, you know?
It is. It's true, too, because Top Dollar was totally trending. Yeah, it's funny. You're right. This is hilarious. It's akin to, you know, those awesome customs that Sean Ross Sapp had made.
Amazing.
It's if one of us tweeted out, yeah, he wears those at big wrestling events, but in real life, he wears Chuck Taylor's. And then he changed his bio to like, you know, "I spend more on sneakers than Going In Raw did, all of last year. I spent more in a month," which might actually be true. I don't know how much those customs cost.
Probably
pretty penny because they look pretty awesome.
They're pretty amazing, yeah.
And then, of course, people in the wrestling community who are prone to take things too far, I'm not going to name names, but you know who you are, and you're putting on the clown makeup. Acting like, oh, how dare he? How dare he talk about shoes? This is a millionaire, by the way, because if I'm not mistaken, Top Dollar was a former NFL player. Probably made over $1 million at this time there. Making big money now, probably in the WWE because he got drafted to SmackDown. Harmless shots to other millionaires.
I know.
And they're all laughing about it because it's all in good fun.
Exactly. I mean, if you're on board with Tony Khan talking a little trash to WWE, be on board with this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This is just some friendly trash talk, and that's all it is.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty
fun. Take it further than that. I think you're, you know, if you take it further than that, you're making too much out of something that shouldn't be that much at all. I mean, that's part of like the Young Bucks thing is they spend all this money on these shoes, and they wear them during their matches. They get blood on them. They seemingly don't care. They get some Travis Scott Jordan 1s, but thumbtacks. They ruin a pair of like $1,000 shoes, and that just plays into like Seth, Becky, going back even further. Heels wear really expensive and often cases really outlandish, over the top outfits to flaunt their wealth and status. And the Young Bucks, in this case, now take it a step further by doing that, and then in moments going out of their way to ruin those things. You know?
Yeah, it's good stuff. What it is. No, it's good stuff, man. I want to tell this story really quick while we're on the subject of shoes, man. I had the best birthday this year. In recent history, of all my recent birthdays, this last one was one of my favorites because not only did you come over, and here's the thing, I like to consider myself budget drip, right?
Yeah, same.
I don't have the money to spend $2,300 on some Travis Scott Jordan 1s. Absolutely. I don't have that kind of money.
I have a hard time paying more than retail.
But I got something that's priceless. My best friend stopped by for my birthday. And showed up with these, because I'm a huge fan of the Air Force Ones. Look at these Air Force Ones right here that he stopped by. Because he knew that I was like, holy crap, dude, look at these. These are sick. Look at those right there. Them. Right, look at that right there. My best friend came over to my house. I'm talking about you, by the way. And then on the same day, my wife knew that I wanted these ones.
Look at that.
And got me these Air Force Ones
look
right
at
here.
You got a whole collection of these guys. Air Force Ones now.
Look at these. I got like I've got, and these are priceless. I mean, it's like $110, but these are priceless because it comes from the heart.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm all about that stuff, man. You know what? I like Tony Khan's phrase, wear what you like and choose. Didn't he coin that phrase?
No,
he said, watch the wrestling. That
watch
you like,
your wrestling.
Like that.
Yeah. WYW. Speaking of watching wrestling, might be. Excuse me, less wrestling for us to watch the month of December because apparently WWE may cancel the pay-per-view. So let me ask you a question, Steve. Were you looking forward to TLC this year?
No, God, no. It's terrible.
Well, sorry to disappoint you, but if Dave Meltzer is to be believed, it's not going to happen. Wrestling Observer himself reporting, and I believe this has since been confirmed by Fightful Select, that there won't be a WWE pay-per-view in December. It was scheduled to be TLC. Instead, we're getting two pay-per-views in January. You got the day one show on New Year's Day, I believe, in Atlanta. And then, of course, Royal Rumble, end of January, 29th to be exact, from St. Louis. Good call, yes or yes, 1,000% good call, because they already have too many pay-per-views.
You know what? Get rid of the day one in January, too. How about this? Get rid of the one they're going to do in February and March.
Mm-hmm.
And go back till you get the Rumble. And then the next thing you get is WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then you could do Money in the Bank, and then you do SummerSlam.
And they do Survivor
Series.
And
then you do the series.
And do one more. Do 6 a year.
That's all you need. And just hype up your TV more. Do more themed TV stuff.
It makes all the sense in the world. Fewer pay-per-views. Like we saw with Extreme Rules. It was like a nothing show. Nothing happened. He had DQ finishes. Leave you scratching your heads on these B-level pay-per-views that are just there because they have to do them, even though they don't really use those shows to advance stories in any sort of meaningful way.
Man, there's one thing I want to do on January 1st, and that's DoorDash some Denny's and recover from maybe a hangover.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I want to do on January 1st. Not wrestle. Certainly not watch wrestle. Ling. Yeah. Anyways.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
You got a good segue for this next one?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know who else doesn't want to do WWE pay-per-views anymore? Bray Wyatt.
There you go.
Because he was released. Anyways, we got some details, apparently, on Bray Wyatt. Wyndham Rotunda's release. Haven't heard much about what led to the shocking release. But the most recent edition of the Matt Men podcast might have shined some light on that. Andrew Zarian offered some insight. These transcripts come to you via WrestleTalk. He says, I want to be careful with this. I'm not even going to allude to where it came from, who told me this. I would say that this is probably one of the most legitimate people I've spoken to that would be able to address this. This isn't a friend of a friend told me, and I even have to second source and triple source or anything like that. This is as close to firsthand information as you could possibly get. And it's not Bray. It's nobody that you would ever imagine. So he clarifies first. He says Bray was being difficult. He says, and I'm going to fill in a lot. I'm not even going to quote because I have the quote, but I don't want to quote it. He was a little difficult. He had some performance issues in the ring and he had some weight issues. I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm not going to say that's the reason, but you can kind of piece things together as to the things when you evaluate a talent and you're like, okay, we need this, we need that. And this is the plan moving forward. You need someone. Sometimes the decision is easier to make if you make it more difficult for them to make that decision. So there is no one reason. By the way, let me just put it out there. Financial, yes, there was a financial issue. There were plenty of other scenarios here. I don't think he was happy. And I would tell you that these decisions are not cut and dry. It's not like, oh, it's a money thing and that's it. Obviously, they're going to say that. That'll be the public answer because most likely it played a part in money because you can only like some guys so much when you're losing money. I'm not saying they were losing money, but I'm just putting it out there like that. There are numerous reasons, not one. So, I mean, I appreciate that he clarifies it, but that's one side of a story that's very muddy. But it does sort of indicate that if nothing else, it's more than just a, hey, this guy, we're giving him a lot of money and creatively, we're not sure what to do with them. There might be more complex issues.
Yeah.
With it.
I mean, I initially it seemed like a situation, maybe somewhat, not entirely analogous, maybe somewhat comparable to Braun Strowman, where, you know, those within WWE felt apparently, as we had heard, as had been rumored and reported, that they felt like that he was past his prime. Braun was and had a huge contract with, you know, a substantial amount of money left on it. They didn't want that to pay that money for someone they thought was past their prime, so they let him go. Now, I'm not suggesting that Bray was past his prime, but maybe with Braun, you know, if he was making that money and was still, I don't know, 28, 30 years old, they thought he had a number of good years left, they might have been like, all right, cool. Well, you know, we're not doing much with him now, but considering he's got a lot of career left in front of him, you know, at that money, we'll keep him on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now maybe with Bray, it was a combination of, all right, he's got this huge contract, there's other issues in play, and it just didn't seem for WWE to be an investment they wanted to continue making in the future.
It just seems like it ended up being a bad fit for everybody. Mm-hmm. is what it seemed like.
And you
like
can see that at times that with you know, seemingly maybe Bray had plans in place, ideas in place, and you could see it going one way, then suddenly whoop, it would go the other way.
You could see that.
I mean, like WrestleMania this year, that seemed to be the case. Everything seemed to indicate that he was going to beat Randy Orton. Like, he needed to get that win back, you know? And it didn't happen.
It would have made sense. That so much of Bray Wyatt, though, I understand. Number one, I'm kind of surprised it actually lasted as long as it did, because they did. I mean, they did use him as, in the words of Bruce Pritchard, an attraction, you know, quite a bit, the supernatural figure of the WWE, you know, him and the demon, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was actually pretty surprised that they let him go as far as he did with the Firefly Funhouse. I mean, understanding that they, you know, the backs were kind of up against a wall in terms of what they could do for that year's WrestleMania because of COVID and it was just hitting and everything. So maybe that gave him some creative leeway to say, hey, let me just give me a camera crew. I will take care of this at the warehouse or whatever they have, whatever they call it.
The archives.
And so the archives. Yeah. I was surprised that they, you know, let him get away with all that. I thought the Fiend stuff was creatively was very interesting. Until it sort of just ran into the natural limitations of both professional wrestling and Vince McMahon. You know, you could sort of see way ahead of time that this is cool, but how far are they really going to take this? And then they put the title on him, and it's like, oh, well, that's a whole new slew of problems. Enter Goldberg, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Seth talked about recently, like the finish to Hell in the Cell 2019. Vince says, you know, they had their own plans, Seth and Bray did, and then Vince says, no, you got to do this.
Yeah,
you know, and there's seemingly several times you could probably find throughout Bray's run at WWE where it seemed like, okay, this might be where the story's leading. This could be interesting, only for that not to happen.
Yeah,
you know, and it, given Bray's ideas, what he seemed to like to do creatively, there was always going to be an issue with him telling the stories he wanted to tell within WWE. You know, it just There was going to be issues with that, and for a lot of the ideas that he had, it seemed like maybe pro wrestling might not be the best fit. Not to say it couldn't, but might not be the best fit for the stories he was trying to tell. But hats off to him for trying. He was trying.
Well, yeah, certainly pro wrestling in a way that's done WWE style. You know, I mean, if he were to go to Impact Wrestling or maybe even AEW, I mean, Impact, you would think, hey, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do? And let's try to fit it within. Like, what's your version? What's your vision? Because he is, you know, a second or third generation wrestler. You know, if you ask him, okay, what is your idea for the best story told within the confines of pro wrestling? Because that's what he's known his whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, for all we know, he would like to go the Hollywood route. I just don't know how somebody would transition from pro wrestling in terms of the infrastructure needed to get into Hollywood. You need a good agent. You need people willing to take a risk on a guy who spent his career in pro wrestling, regardless of what he did there. Mm-hmm. That might be a more difficult to, door to knock down. I don't know. Certainly, you go to Impact Wrestling, you would think, I mean, given what they do over there, they'd open up, you know, and especially they seem to really want the guy. They'd maybe give him carte blanche. But yeah, no, I don't know. Interesting that... just seemed to be generally a bad fit towards the end, I guess, for Bray Wyatt and WWE.
Yeah, it seems that way. Another Bray Wyatt news. Tony Khan, of course, mentioned yesterday on WFAN that he had spoken to Bray about coming to AEW. But then today, in an interview with the New York Post, he was asked if he'd like to have conversations with Wyndham Rotunda about coming to AEW. And this is what Tony Khan had to say. Quote, yeah, I really like Wyndham. I know him a little bit, and I really enjoy him. The last time I saw him was at Chris Jericho's birthday party, and that was a long time ago. I like him as a person very much, and he's a really talented person. At the right time and place, sure, I'd be interested to talk to him. I'm interested to talk to him in general because he's a great person.
So I looked up the birthday of Chris Jericho. He was born in November, so that was almost a year ago.
All right.
That he would have seen him last. There's the extent of my research.
There you go.
I'm a journalist now.
More than I
am. Am I a journalist now?
I think so. You did a research. You got a bit of information that enhanced the story. That makes you a journalist now, I think.
Yeah.
You went to Wikipedia.
Look at the information we're bringing you guys here.
Look at that. Speaking of information, we got some info on The Rock appearing at Survivor Series. So, Steve, were you looking forward to The Rock appearing on Survivor Series this year?
Not really.
I hate to break it to you. I know you're going to be disappointed by this news. But if Andrew Zarian is to be believed, it's not going to happen. Because he talked about on the Matt Man podcast today, these transcripts from WrestleTalk. Quote, little update on The Rock. He is apparently in Australia during Survivor Series. Now, does that mean he won't be doing something at Survivor Series? They're definitely going to mention it. They're definitely going to talk about it. There will be maybe a video appearance or something that's planned. but he's not going to be there. And it really looks like the focus has started to moving a Roman Rock match to LA. Of course, that's WrestleMania 39. Zarian continues, I'll say it this way. There are people that are adamant that it needs to take place in Los Angeles. They're adamant. There are certain people they say that say, no, this match should not happen at Dallas. It should happen in L.A. There's a lot of back and forth happening right now with this, but originally this was happening. Multiple sources from in the company, out of the company, told me the plan was this. Where it goes from here, we'll find out.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to do it, if the choice is between do it in Dallas and you can't do it all because his obligations are going to – look, this dude is moving into the D.C. universe coming up with the Black Adam movie. And the Shazam universe, whatever all that is. So if he might be too wrapped up by the time 2023 rolls around. So if the idea is you can either do it in Dallas, you can't do it at all, then you do it in Dallas. If you have the choice between Dallas and LA, I mean, maybe he's going to want to promote the DC stuff come 2023 and he'll be more apt to do it there. Mm-hmm. Maybe Warner's going to be like, hey, man, you're part of the DCU now. You can't do any of that stuff because Black Adam has to, like, you know, fly around and stuff. You need to be able to do physical stuff. We don't want to put that at risk in a silly wrestling match. I don't know where they would see more value in him doing a massive amount of publicity in LA for WrestleMania, or do they see more value in playing it safe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And of course, we're talking about movie productions. You got to worry about insurance issues, all that.
Yeah.
You know, that complicates things a great deal. He's an incredibly busy man. He seemingly has like multiple projects going on at once. I'm sure just fitting anything into his incredibly busy schedule is going to be tough.
I would think the insurance thing would be the biggest roadblock. And again, that always comes down to what's bigger, him as an entity being able to wield his stroke, or the movie making machine. What, you know, it all sort of depends on what the bigger power play would be and what they all value. In terms of his schedule, if he wants to do it, it's his schedule.
Yeah, he
can do it.
Well, I know if that's a priority for him to do, obviously he can make time in his schedule and carve out time in his schedule where the insurance issues won't be such an issue, you know, because usually the insurance issue is when you're nearing production and they don't want anybody getting hurt leading into production because it delays production and that costs money.
So
if he makes time in his schedule to make it a priority to show up at WrestleMania, then yeah, it's possible. But, you know, he's got so many things going on.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, dude, you do it in LA. Absolutely. You keep that belt on Roman for
another year and a half.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We had a fun time watching NXT UK with the friendos, not just the friendos here live at the Twitch with us, but there were some friendos there in attendance. At NXT UK, finally fans are back in the BT Sports Arena. Obviously, this was at, I would speculate, probably like 30% capacity, if that, because there was like one whole side where the A camera was, like facing the entrance, like where that was, you could see in a couple of the side shots, there were no fans. So they were sort of on either side. It was nice to see them back. Not your typical UK crowd. I think they probably have limitations. I don't know this for sure. If anybody was actually there, let us know if this is true in the comments or whatever or on Twitter. But there was not as much. There was some, you know, booing and yelling and shouting and stuff. But, you know, they were obviously socially distancing. There was a lot of space between the people. There was a lot of thumbs ups and thumbs downs like they're in the Thunderdome and a lot of clapping and whatnot. But it wasn't your typical UK crowd. Mm-mm. I understand the times we're living in. We got to take things in baby steps.
Indeed.
So obviously that's how they're going. So good on them going forward. This is a good first step for them.
Indeed. Indeed. Show kicked off with Blair Davenport, the newly reinstated Blair Davenport, taking on Stevie Turner. I believe Stevie Turner challenged Blair, what, a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think.
For this bout. Blair gets the win. With a Kamigoye and a Falcon Arrow afterwards, she drops a promo. It says, Sid.
Skid Sayla.
Did the right thing reinstating her. She's going to make it clear to the women's locker room that she is back.
All right. Then we had Yeah, backstage, Noam Dar and Shaw Samuels. Shaw Samuels had a wonderful surprise party planned to celebrate Noam Dar's winning the Heritage Cup tournament thing. And but it just said, the banner said happy birthday. Somebody messed it up.
And there's a couple dudes sitting in there.
There's a couple of jabronis sitting there, and they're like, hey, jog on, which means get out of here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So so they said scram. Oh, we're being raided by Cultaholic at the Party 96. What's up, Cultaholic? Go subscribe to Cultaholic. Yeah. If you're here on the Twitch, go follow them.
Absolutely.
So Shaw Samuels feeling pretty down about that. Noam Dar perked him up, said, hey, man, you know what? This is just a warm-up for the real celebration when I actually win that Heritage Cup off of Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. And after that, we get a Tao Man video package. And he is promising that their family is going to grow.
Yeah, they're going to add somebody to their faction. Maybe somebody can cook up a dinner finally, because they're sitting in that mansion.
They had wine, it's though.
Lovely looking place they're at. Mm-hmm. They had some vino. They had some wine. Mm-hmm. Where's the meal, man? Can we get an appetizer around here? Maybe some bread?
Yeah, some bread would be nice.
Casa de Tio, man. After that, we had Slimy Skid Scala on the phone saying, and Ginny and Joseph Connors walks in, and Skid tells Ginny that she's going to get a title shot against Mako in 3 weeks.
Yep. Yep. Then we get Flash Morgan Webster versus Shaw Samuels. This was a really fun match.
Dude, let's talk about Shaw Samuels. Cut these days.
Yeah. Great shape.
Great shape.
Yeah. He gets the win on Flash Morgan Webster after Spine Buster. Solid match, though. Solid bout.
Sorry, Dang MQ here in chat says they're going to add a Tao woman. Tao woman. Sorry. Yeah, that was a good match, though. Shaw Samuels looks like he's in amazing shape, so good for him.
Yeah. What do you think the odds are that Noam Dar wins that Heritage Cup?
Probably pretty decent. I would say pretty good. He's featured quite a bit, and it'll look great on the set of Supernova sessions.
It's a great talk show. It's the best talk show WWE has going right now.
It is. Like, his head will grow so much. Yeah, I think he's going to get it. He's such a good... That's going to be a hell of a match, by the way.
Yep.
That's going to be a match of the year candidate right there.
Yep. Then we get the Nina Samuels show with Zaya Brookside. So what this is Nina Samuels just walks up to Zaya Brookside while she's training at the UK Performance Center with the mic, and just starts asking questions. And then she doesn't like the answer Zaya's giving her. So Nina says that she's a real superstar, and then whereas Zaya Brookside couldn't even beat, and she turns around and Leah James is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Zaya Brookside kind of yells over to Leah and says, hey, we haven't faced each other before. Want to have a match? And then Leah James says, yeah, sure. And then Zaya says, all right, let's go work out.
Let's go work out together. And then Nina Samuels says, oh, the drama. Yeah, that's pretty funny. So it's funny because, like, while we were watching this, during this segment, somebody brought up, is NXT UK, I think they said, is it closest to what AEW does? Mm-hmm. And it sort of hit me. It's like, you know, NXT UK is the one WWE property. And in fact, I'll even extend it further and say the one property, including AEW. I think NXT UK, more than any other show, their characters act more like real people than any other promotion across the board. And credit to that, and I mentioned this to you also, so many of these wrestlers have history with each other dating back 5-10 years. And that chemistry is so evident with the characters in NXT UK. It's a shame more people don't watch it, because it is really terrific.
It is. They've really kind of hit their stride creatively, because it's just people interacting. And
yeah, right. Yeah.
And it could be something as simple as what we saw with Nina Samuels. A match is made that way. Sometimes people just bump into each other. Let's have a match, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all about interpersonal relationships and that leading to matches. And I just kind of find that the more interesting stuff these days.
Yeah, same. I mean, it might not be the flashiest, you know, dramatic stories, which could be to its detriment, but the wrestling is fantastic on this show. It really is. After that, speaking of characters, Gallus interrupting. I love this dynamic, because Gallus are a bunch of, like, sort of good time face bullies, and Jordan Devlin is just like a little bastard bully on his own. They're always just fucking with the guy. So he's in a match with, or sorry, he's in a meeting with Sid Scala. They come in, they're getting some shit, And he's like, well, you know, joke's on you because I've been talking to Sid here and he's going to give me a rematch against you. But your buddies are barred from ringside. He's talking to Joe Coffey because of their match last week. And so he explains to him why he's the ace. And the ace always beats a king every day of the week.
Yep. Yep. He mentions that Joe, two shots at gold came up short. Two main events, a takeover, he come up short. He says nothing keeping me from getting gold, getting the title. Yep. Then we got our main event, A-Kid taking on Ilya Dragunov for the NXT UK Championship. Physical, brutal match. A bunch of very physical limb work in this bout. It went about a half hour. You really felt like they were just beating the hell out of each other. Not surprisingly, Ilya retained. He just won the belt, winning after a Torpedo Moscow. But a hell of a showing from A-Kid.
Oh man, dude, this is one of those matches that just kind of hurt to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, like all the limb stuff. Oh man, just working over limb after limb.
I can't get it. Like, really, I love really chops. Period.
Yeah,
but you chop someone in the leg.
Oh man,
it just seems devastating.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Yeah, this is really good stuff. So if you guys aren't watching NXT UK, you're really missing out on something decent here.
You should.
1 hour a week. 1 hour That's a week. It. If you're like, man, I'm tired of all these wrestling shows. 2 hours a week. 3 hours a week. Plus pay-per-views, 1 hour a week. That's all they need.
Just 1 hour.
Yeah.
Just 1 hour. Good stuff. Do we get any questions here in chat real quick?
Do we have any questions? We do have a bunch of gifted subs here from JK Mayhem. We'll read those when the show is over, but want to say thank you very much for that. White Brownie, where do you see UK a year from now?
Hopefully move out of the studio they're in. They've been in for a while and getting into arenas in front of larger houses, assuming it's safe to do.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, with more vaccinations, with boosters, with I know Merck is developing like a COVID antiviral drug that'll help out. Mm-hmm. Once it's safe to get in, you know, to pack those venues again, maybe it can capture a little bit of the buzz that it's never really like early on. It kind of had that. But I feel like it really needs the relationship between those wrestlers and the fans. You know, you saw it back in the day with Zach Gibson and the shoes off thing. That really needs to sort of start from scratch again. They really need to start developing that again with the fans. And that is really one of the things that the UK brand can boast, is having some of the most passionate fans in wrestling. And so hopefully if they're able to do that. Now, the entire thing is predicated on WWE keeping NXT UK alive.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I don't know how much of a question. I'm not sure if the contract with BT Sport and the various entities that might carry it across Europe, if that sort of requires them, if that means that they're making a profit over there off NXT UK. I just don't know.
Don't know.
I mean, given how much it costs apparently to run the performance center, you know, we've always heard that NXT Prime out here is a money loser. Mm-hmm. I just don't know, given that there's like, what, I know Kaylee Ray got called up to Prime, but we haven't seen her in ages. They seem to maybe want to do something with Walter. Imperium went to Prime. I just don't know how many plans they have for like calling people up from UK. And if that's the case, I don't know, like, if they're a moneymaker for the company, if they're going to want to keep them around.
Well, I guess I think they'd be an acceptable money loser if they were developing and bringing up talent that was to Vince's liking, you know, I think, you know, even NXT, if they're a money loser for the company, if they're developing the talent that Vince wants, and ultimately that talent can make money for the company, I think Vince is fine with it in the long run. But I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Rozzy says, with the rumors of The Rock going around, where do you honestly see him showing up? It's just really difficult to tell if he is going to, I mean, yeah, he might send a video in
for
Survivor Series
25th anniversary of his debut,
and like he's probably fine like teasing something. I mean, he did it that time with Triple H and nothing came of it.
Yeah,
so maybe he'll tease something with Roman, you know, in the hopes that, hey, you know, in 2023 we'll pack that LA stadium
yeah
to for him versus Roman. So yeah, I would think that maybe we'll get some video messages from him. Yeah. But in person, probably, I would doubt we'd see him until later on in like 2022. Maybe he'd make an appearance at SummerSlam 2022. Maybe.
Dangim Q, does NXT UK have a War Games? And if so, who should be in it? Gallus. Three teams of three. Let's do that. Gallus.
Okay.
Pete Dunne comes back. Mustache Mountain.
Oh, man. British Strong Style. Yeah.
Yeah, British Strong Style. Yeah, British Strong Style.
Gallus. British Strong Style.
And I guess you could say Imperium. If Walter's still around.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Those are great. Great teams. Let's see here. King CDM, what is Blair Davenport's ceiling? Not just UK, but WWE. It wouldn't shock me if she actually was one of the next ones to get called up. I would, like, if she had a really short reign in UK and got called up, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be terribly surprising, though.
Yeah.
White Brownie, could you see... the UK hosting their own King of the Ring and Queen's Crown in the future. They might do, I mean, they had like the Heritage Cup tournament. They had the number one contender. I wouldn't be surprised they do tournaments. As far as dubbing them King of the Ring, Queen's Crown, probably not.
It's, you know what UK really kind of is? It's 10 for the win. We were such on an island, able to kind of do our own thing back in the Machinima days. And I get the feeling that with UK, I mentioned this also during the stream, there's never a moment in UK where you're like, what is that weird story trope they just wheeled out? Mm-hmm. What is that weird twist they just had? It's all fairly like normal storytelling. Mm-hmm. They have tournaments. They don't focus on rematches. They move things along. It doesn't feel like any of the annoying tropes from WWE exist in UK. And so they've done tournaments and stuff like that. It wouldn't shock me to see, not with that branding, like you just said, not with that branding, but their own version of a King of the Ring. I mean, they did the Heritage Cup thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see that kind of stuff. Not with that branding, though.
Dark Tank Lucha, what wrestler from NXT 2.0 are currently awaiting in the PC? Would you pluck out of there and place an AEW just to see what happens? Dark Tank Lucha continues, it would be interesting to see The Rock's daughter Simone become All Elite, because you would never think that, as she already seemed like a WWE lifer.
It wouldn't shock me too much to see Simone there. It wouldn't. I mean, there's nothing that says she'd have to, you know, the AEW would have no problem mentioning The Rock or whatever.
Yeah, AEW, unlike WWE, actually recognizes the rest of wrestling and the entirety of wrestling history.
Yeah. As far as who from 2.0 would we want to see, would I want to see in AEW? So obviously you couldn't transfer the character. But I'd want to see Tian Sha. I want to see Mei Ying. In that presentation, I think would work better in AEW, given the way they like that show.
Answer. That's a good answer.
Versus NXT. I mean, really, that's just not going to work in 2.0. No. It's just not.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right. Well, anyways, that should do it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.